The message we send to the world is
Oui,
the following one.
la
Yes,
paix est notre but.
peace is our
Oui, nous
goal.
chérissons la
Yes,
liberté et le
we
droit.
cherish
Et oui,
freedom
nous
and
tenons prêts
law.
à
And
combattre
yes,
pour les
we are
défendre
ready to fight
toujours
to defend these
et au prix du
principles
sang
always and forever and to pay tribute in blood if
et du sang.
necessary.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 14th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus, where the cicadas are singing. They are loud this afternoon, those cicadas. And they're all around us, watching us. Anyway, let's talk about the Coalition of the Willing. It is back. The Coalition of the Willing is back. And they had a meeting in Paris. A big meeting. Everyone turned up for the Coalition of the Willing meeting, where the globalist cool kids meet up to discuss conflict with Russia and support for Le Goblin Vert. You know which leader did not show up to the Coalition of the Willing? He got an invitation and he turned it down. And the reason he turned it down was because he said that his country does not want to hand over money and weapons to the Ukraine conflict anymore. That leader is none other than Bulgaria's Radev. He said that Macron invited him to Paris, and he said, nope, not going to show up to the Coalition of the Willing meeting. We are out of the Project Ukraine grift. But everyone else turned up. NATO CEO Mark Rutte was there. Van der Caesar was there. Le Goblin Vert was there. Who else? It was chaired by Macron and 008 Keir Starmer. This may be Keir Starmer's final Ukraine event, the Coalition of the Willing. He was co-chair with Little Napoleon. And you know, there is actually, well, Keir Starmer said that Andy Burnham will continue his work with Project Ukraine. So he said that. But as Starmer leaves his position as prime minister and Burnham takes over, there is a vacancy for a prime minister position in Ukraine. Ukraine's prime minister, Svyriadenko Yulia, it is official, she is no longer prime minister of Ukraine. She will most likely become ambassador of Ukraine to the United States, because the current ambassador of Ukraine to the United States is under some sort of corruption investigation, go figure. And Svyriadenko may become the Ukraine ambassador to the United States. And so there is a job vacancy for prime minister of Ukraine. I think that Keir Starmer would be perfect for the job. Absolutely perfect to become prime minister of Ukraine. And he will be right at home with Le Goblin Vert. Me and you, Keir Starmer, we will rule Ukraine. Anyway, that is the Coalition of the Willing meeting. By the way, Ursula van der Caesar, she made it official. The UK has now been invited to be part of the 90 billion loan to Project Ukraine. That also means that Ukraine can purchase weapons from the UK as part of the 90 billion scheme to hand money over to Ukraine, to loan money to Ukraine, interest-free, never has to be paid back, but it is being called a loan. Anyway, the UK is now part of this whole thing, and they can sell weapons, the UK military companies, to Project Ukraine. So that was announced by van der Caesar. The agreement that paves the way for the UK to join our $90 billion Ukraine support loan. This will give Ukraine access to a wider range of defense suppliers so they can get what they need on the battlefield. Together, we are supporting Ukraine's brave resistance. And there's a photo of Van der Cesar with Keir Starmer. She says, signed, Europe and the UK, the flags together, signed. It has been signed. It is official. It's also a very, very clever, sneaky way of pulling the UK even closer to the European Union and reversing Brexit. We see what you're doing, EU and 008 Keir Starmer. We know what this is really all about. Yes, it's about weapons. Yes, it's about the grift. Yes, it's about keeping the war going. It's all of those things, but it's also a very devious way to pull the UK even closer into the EU orbit by throwing it into this weapons loan fund, the $90 billion gift to Ukraine. Anyway, that is that was an announcement made at the Coalition of the Willing meeting, and Macron, he started to talk about how Europeans are ready to go to war. They are ready to defend the freedom of Europe, even with their blood, if necessary. That is what Macron said before the Coalition of the Willing meetings kicked off with Ukraine and all of the allies. Macron started to talk about how Europe was ready to defend itself and its freedom and its values. And that means European citizens will defend with their blood. Okay, little Napoleon. I think we get the message. Will people in Europe actually defend them EU values with their blood? I don't think so, but once upon a time, I also said there's no way that they will lock people down in their homes and everyone will just accept it. And they did it. They locked everyone into their homes and people just accepted it. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll find a narrative that will motivate Europeans to go fight for the globalists. It's very, very possible. I rule nothing out. Let's see how our olive trees from around the world are doing. Wow, they're growing, everybody. The Garden of Peace. They are growing. Our friends in Slovenia. Nothing's growing there, but how about Egypt? How about Egypt? Egypt. Not much there. Albania? I guess things are not growing. I saw all of these trees. Well, I saw that one and I got excited. This is not an olive tree though. Anyway, let's continue with the news. There we go. We got some olive trees down there. Let's see which countries they represent. So Germany is going to purchase 50,000 drones from, take a guess, which company? Take a wild guess from which company. Skyfall, the drone company, the drone facility that Lindsey Graham was visiting before he returned back to the United States and then died. Germany has confirmed that Skyfall will be providing 50,000 drones. Germany's going to pay for these drones, and they're going to then hand these drones over to Ukraine. This has been confirmed by Skyfall. Their representatives have confirmed this to Reuters. It's going to use American tech from Auterion. They're going to be providing the targeting and tracking AI and all of these things to hit targets. They have confirmed this deal. It's worth 90 million euros. And Skyfall is going to provide the hardware. So Skyfall, the hardware, Auterion in the USA is going to provide the AI, the software, and the targeting. Germany is going to cough up the money. And the drones will be given to Project Ukraine. So stunning and brave, she announced, well, she wanted to announce the 21st sanctions package. I don't know what's going on here at the Garden of Peace, to be quite honest. But the problem that Stunning and Brave had is that the 21st sanctions package, she was very excited to announce it, to announce its approval. But it did not pass. There's still some problems with the 21st sanctions package. There's three problems. Problem number one has to do with oil. They want to keep a price cap of 44 euros. Which is ridiculous given the situation right now with Iran, the closing of Hormuz, the blockading of Iran. I'll get to that in a little bit. But the European Union, Kaya Kallas, insists on having a 44 euro price cap on Russian oil. For example, the Greeks are saying this is absurd. It's just not realistic. What's going to happen, the Greek argument, is that the ships, are going to move away from Greek flags or from Greek management, and they're just going to go elsewhere. They're going to put a different flag on their ships, and Athens is going to lose out on money in order to circumvent the $44 price cap, because oil is going to shoot up. It's at 83. It's going to shoot up to 100, maybe even more than 100. So that was Greece's argument. We have the issue of sanctioning the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill. Bulgaria is saying no, we're not going to sanction a Russian Orthodox Patriarch. That is not going to happen. That's absurd and ridiculous and just flat out wrong and evil. Bulgaria didn't say it was evil, but that's what they were getting at. Good on you, Bulgaria. Very, very good on Bulgaria. Where are the Greek Orthodox? Where are the Cyprus Orthodox, Romania Orthodox? They're staying silent. Shame, shame, shame. But Bulgaria represented. And then you have the issue with fish. That's going to be my clown world. They cannot reach a compromise on sanctioning Russian fish. And so the 21st sanctions package did not pass, but they're going to scale it down and scale it back, said Stunning and Brave, and they'll pass it sometime next week. What they did sanction is Russian social media. They sanctioned VKontakte, the Russian social media platform with about 80 or 90 million users. And the reason they sanctioned VKontakte is because it used a company, a subsidiary, to develop the Max app, which is the messaging app that the Russian government is now trying to push onto Russian citizens as they try to phase out Telegram and push Max onto everybody. That did not work out very well. They've eased off on all of that, though Telegram still has problems in Russia. You still need a VPN, but the government did kind of back off because the people were not happy with removing Telegram. But they're trying to push the Max app and VKontakt. They were involved in the development of this app, and so the European Union decided to sanction VKontakt. They also sanctioned some cyber hackers or something like that as well, a group of hackers, whatever, okay. And then Stunning and Brave, she mentioned that they will be announcing more sanctions on entities and individuals that are helping Putin's war machine. She was very, very proud to announce that they will be sanctioning 250 entities. And this is a record. It's a record amount of entities that will be sanctioned next week. Outside of the 21st sanctions package, they've agreed to sanction 250 entities and individuals. We're sanctioning Russia at speed and scale. Today's measures, together with the upcoming 21st sanctions package, will add 250 individual and entities to the Russia sanctions regime. This is our biggest round of individual designations since Moscow's 2022 full-scale invasion, and includes also the EU's largest ever cyber sanctions package. The financial backbone of Russia's war machine is the main target. Every measure weakens Moscow's ability to wage war. Did I not call this about Stunning and Brave and her foreign office? It's all about sanctions. I'm actually starting to think they're compensated by the amount of sanctions that they actually put out there. I think like the globalist leaders, like Klaus Schwab, these guys, they're paying on the amount of sanctions she can get through, right? Doesn't matter if they're effective, if they're not effective. Just sanction as much as you can. The more you sanction, like a performance bonus, the more you sanction, the more you get, right? So she's like, 250, it's a record. Here's your bonus. Not that it does anything, not that it breaks Russia's war machine, right? It doesn't do any of that stuff. We all know that. We all know the state of Russia's economy, and we know the state of Europe's economy. Europe is collapsing. Europe's economies are falling apart. Europe's economies are in debt. They're in recession. And Russia's economy is not, right? Russia's economy is doing pretty well, given everything that is going on. And the sanctions are completely ineffective. They're actually hurting Europe more than they're hurting Russia. But speed and scale is what she is saying. It's all about speed and scale. How many sanctions can we get through? How many people, entities, organizations, messaging apps, programmers, hackers, whatever? How many sanctions? How many people? How many things can we sanction? That's what matters. Not whether they work or not. Anyway, that is Stunning and Brave. That was her big announcement. And since we're on the topic of sanctions, the world is going mad. The collective West is going mad with sanctions. I mean, they're losing their mind with sanctions. One day we'll be done with all of these sanctions. Maybe one day in the next 5 or 10 or 20 years, we'll be completely finished with the sanctions nonsense. But for now, they are losing their mind with sanctions in the collective West. Even President DJT has caught the sanction bug, the sanction virus. He is saying that he will, in honor of Lindsey Graham, will green light the bone crushing sanctions on Russia, which are effectively secondary sanctions on any countries that purchase Russian oil. Tariff sanctions, 500%. That was the number that Lindsey Graham was floating out there when he was with us on this earth. We don't know what that number will be. We don't know the details of what him and Blumenthal and Trump had finally decided on with regards to an actual number. But any country, and I'm looking at you, China and India, that purchases Russian oil will be sanctioned or tariffed, call it whatever you want. They will have to pay this fee. And Trump at a time when we are heading into a very, very big oil crisis. Trump has decided that in honor of Lindsey Graham, he will push through the bone-crushing sanctions. Senator Thune, he said that in Graham's last days, the sanctions package was the thing that he cared the most about in terms of an accomplishment, and it would certainly be an incredible legacy for him. The thing that he cared most about was sanctioning Russia. What a legacy. What a legacy. I'm the one that came up with the bone-crushing sanctions. That's my legacy. That's what I leave on planet Earth. That's what I leave everybody with. My legacy is bone-crushing sanctions on Russia and destroying the global economy and global energy. That's my gift to you, the people of Earth, as I move to my next location, wherever that may be. Anyway, that is Trump. Trump also posted on Truth Social that he will be wanting a 20% protection fee for ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. Let me read you Trump's post on Truth Social. The Hormuz Strait is open and will remain open with or without Iran. We are reinstating the Iranian blockade, so named because it is only stopping Iran's ships or customers from entering or leaving. All other countries will have fair and open use of the strait. The USA will be, from this point forward, known as, all caps, the guardian of the Hormuz Strait. But as such, and as a matter of fairness, all caps, will be reimbursed at the rate of 20% on all cargo shipped for any and all costs necessary to do the job of providing safety and security to this very volatile section of the world. The process and formation will begin immediately. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So, round three of the war between the United States and Iran is all about the Strait of Hormuz and making sure that, and this is coming from the U.S., from Rubio, from Trump, making sure that Hormuz is open, is free. That's what this is all about. This is what they tell us this is all about, to ensure that Hormuz is safe, open, and above all else is free. No toll, no fee, no nothing. And now Trump is saying, yeah, it'll be open. It'll be free. But you're going to have to pay us 20% for protection. For protection from from a volatile region that we made volatile. from the war that we started, you're going to have to pay us 20%. For a strait that is located thousands and thousands of miles away from the United States of America. Oh, make it make sense. Arachi, the foreign minister of Iran, said POTUS is absolutely right. Whoever provides secure and safe passage of commercial vessels through the Strait of Hormuz should be compensated for this service. Iran has always been the guardian of the strait and will remain so forever. 20% is, of course, too much. We will be fair. You know what Iran was charging, or what Iran was considering to charge for passage? They were looking to charge $1 per barrel. $1 per barrel. So at the current Brent price of $80 per barrel, that is 1.25%. So the U.S. is proposing to charge a fee that is 16x the Iranian fee. Oh, my God. What is Trump talking about, man? What are you talking about, President Trump? Oh boy, there's a post here on X. One second, let me find it. From Robert Barnes. He sounds off on this madness. Here we go. Trump condemns Iran for talking about charging an effectively 2% fee for accessing the Strait of Hormuz in territorial waters of primarily Iran. So what does he do? Demands a 20% fee for accessing the Strait of Hormuz in waters that don't belong at all to the U.S. Okay. The U.N., a shipping agency, has already commented on Trump's 20% protection fee. Pirate Trump? Not even Pirate Trump. It's not even Pirate Trump anymore. Mafia guy Trump? Anyway, the UN shipping agency has said no. No. There's going to be no 20% Strait of Hormuz charge, declaring there is no legal basis for mandatory tolls. When the UN says there's no legal basis for mandatory tolls, not only are they shooting down Trump's ridiculous Truth Social post, but they're also signaling to Iran, no tolls. Lula said something about this as well. Everyone is talking about Trump's post on Truth Social, which is why he posted it, right? He wants everyone to go crazy and talk about it. That's the purpose of this post. Let me see if I have Lula's statement, if I have that bookmarked. Lula basically called it just piracy. That was what Lula said. It's just flat out piracy. Here we go. Brazilian President Lula on Trump. Trump made a post saying that he would reopen the Strait of Hormuz, but every ship that he lets pass through the strait, the owner of the oil would have to pay him 20%. That used to be called piracy, didn't it? It used to be called piracy. A country as important as the United States, which spent so long fighting piracy, should not now become a pirate. He shouldn't be charging for that, because the strait is not his responsibility. Pirate Trump. Pirate Trump. Pirate Schultz. Ursula van der Pirate. All here on this channel, we've been talking about the pirate world for how long now? How long have we been talking about the pirate world, everybody? 3 years now? 4 years? And it has now become reality. It is all reality now. We live in a freaking pirate world. Okay, so that is Trump's True Social post that has everyone talking. And as I mentioned back at the Garden of Peace, the sea blockade is now back on. It is on like Donkey Kong. the U.S. sea blockade of Iran, which is effectively a sea blockade on China. But Trump announced that we got the sea blockade. CENTCOM said, yes, there is a sea blockade now in effect. And Trump also notified Congress that limited military operations are ongoing. So Congress has now been notified. And we got a third straight night of attacks. U.S. attacks into Iran. Big strikes from the U.S. into Iran. Very, very big strikes. Targeting all kinds of energy facilities, including the Bushehr nuclear power plant. I think that's the Russian NPP that they're going after. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments down below, but I think I read that the U.S. is really hitting that facility very hard. And Iran is retaliating. They are retaliating at the U.S. bases and U.S. facilities in the Gulf region. The war is expanding. It is now bringing in Saudi Arabia and Yemen. My understanding of things is that Saudi Arabia hit Yemen. And when we're saying Saudi Arabia hit Yemen, we mean the United States used the cover of Saudi Arabia to go after Yemen. in much the same way that they use Ukraine as a proxy. They're trying to draw in Saudi Arabia as a proxy. So the truce between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, that has been ongoing now for 7-8 years, that's falling apart as well. And then Yemen hit Saudi Arabia. The Houthis hit the airfield in an air base in Saudi Arabia, the King Khalid, with ballistic missiles and drones. And if you look at the videos from that strike, it was a successful strike. At least that's how it looks. Fire and smoke rising from that airbase in Saudi Arabia. And just to put the cherry on top of this massive... one sec. Just to put the cherry on top of this massive shit cake, we have the statements from the Houthis that they will close down the Al-Mandab Strait, which is the waterway that Saudi Arabia has been using in order to circumvent having to go through the Strait of Hormuz to get its oil out there into the markets. And now the Houthis are saying, we're going to shut that sucker down. That's going to be good for the world's energy situation, okay? Oh, this thing is getting way out of control. Or maybe if you're a globalist and you're orchestrating manufacturing all of this, maybe it's going exactly to plan. Perhaps. We have the price of oil, as I said, back at the Garden of Peace. The price of oil is rising. Brent crude, I believe 83 a barrel, somewhere around there, or 80 a barrel. We have diesel at 83, jumped 9%. Yeah, that's going to jack up prices on just about everything, because whatever is used to deliver stuff like food and stuff, it's all running on diesel pretty much. So yeah, that's gonna hurt. Things are going from bad to worse, and there is no reverse gear. So that is the situation with Iran. CNN, they said in their coverage of everything that's happening in Iran, and I quote CNN, ceasefire in tatters. Trump notified Congress that military action has resumed in Iran. Tehran launched strikes at U.S. regional allies and said it struck and disabled two tankers. The UAE said Iranian missiles hit its tankers in Omani waters, killing one crew member. Anyway, ceasefire in tatters. Tatters, tatters, tatters. Ah, Ursula, when you made that speech 3 years ago, if only you had known. If only you had known what was about to happen in 3 years. Not the Russian economy in tatters. Just about everything else is in tatters, except the Russian economy. The Russian economy is like the only thing that is not in tatters. Anyway, that is CNN. Incredible. What an incredible day of news. And we continue with Russian President Putin, who was speaking at some forum or some event. What was the name of this event? I think it was the Victory, Russia Victory event, or all Victory. What was the event that Putin was speaking at? Not that it's very important, but now I'm curious. Let's see here. The event was the All for Victory event that Putin was speaking at. Anyway, Putin said that whatever Ukraine does to Russia with drones and missile strikes into Russia, the policy is that Russia will reciprocate. It will mirror whatever Ukraine does. Russia will do the same and harder. So that's the policy. Defense. Defense, that's it. He's going to take a defensive approach. But the response is always going to be tougher than Ukraine. So if Ukraine sends 400 drones into Moscow, then Moscow is going to send 400 drones plus 10 missiles. You get what I mean. Putin said that, and I quote, "Our response will always mirror any strike on Russian territory. We will respond in kind, only several times more powerfully. The enemy will feel it. They already do. And they will feel it even more in the future." Is anyone listening to Putin? Is anyone taking his threats, his warnings, his red lines seriously? I don't think so anymore. I really get the sense that no one is taking what he says into consideration at all anymore. You know, you're still selling LNG to Europe. You're selling LNG to the EU that is being used to power up the facilities that are manufacturing the weapons that are then used to hit Russia, for which you will mirror the response. But Putin did say that as he's playing defense, as he has this policy, maximum restraint, and we're going to mirror whatever Ukraine does, he did say that on the front line, Russia is winning and is advancing. And that is true. That is without a doubt. Without a doubt, Russia is winning the war, the battle in Ukraine, and they're winning it big. And they will capture Donbass, and they will wrap that up. This is without question. The deterrence side of things, Russia being a nuclear superpower with a formidable deterrence, that's, forget about that, it's all gone. Anyway, that is that was Putin's statement. Putin also said that at this event that Russia is putting together some sort of a system to provide fuel and energy to Crimea that will be very difficult for the enemy to pick apart, to strike at. We don't know the details of that. So that was Putin, and we can now move into clown world territory. And let's begin with, this is actually big news in the United States. Trump proposed, he came up with a proposal, once again, to honor Lindsey Graham, which is that Graham's sister, Darlene, she will be appointed to finish his Senate term. And I think this is pretty much a done deal. Darlene Graham, I guess, will be the senator of South Carolina. Well, there you go. Fox News, they were covering this story. And the Fox News reporter said that Lindsey Graham's sister as interim senator, quote, "I am confident, Lindsey Graham, he is smiling down from heaven at this. I am confident he is smiling down from heaven at this." What is wrong with that statement? Let me know in the comments down below. I am confident that he, Lindsey Graham, is smiling down from heaven. Heaven at the appointment of his sister to be senator of South Carolina, smiling down at heaven. That's Fox News. And sister becomes senator. Okay. That's how these things are going to go now. The United States is becoming the European Union, right? We're just going to appoint people into offices now. We're just going to appoint them. It's a better system when you think about it. The EU system is a much better system if you're part of the globalist club, right? You get appointed. You have no accountability, no responsibility. You're not going to get voted out. All around, it's just a superior system than democracy and elections and voting and stuff like that. So Mark Levin, he took issue with people calling Graham a warmonger. Levin, he appeared on a show that three or four people actually watch. But he said that, "I resent when people call Lindsey Graham a warmonger. He was not a warmonger. He was a humanitarian. He's loved by the Persian people." Levin said he's loved by the Persian people. He's loved by the Ukrainian people, by the Israelis. He said he's loved by all these people. Lindsey Graham, the humanitarian, not the warmonger, the humanitarian, according to Levin. And finally, we have the FBI. So many bugs around here. We have the FBI appearing at Graham's DC home. Yeah, the FBI was there. Locking it down. Cleaning things up. I don't know what they're doing there. Well, I mean, I think we all know what they're doing there, but still very, very odd to see the FBI there. I guess they want to make sure that nothing gets out, nothing compromising or anything like that classified makes it out of his home. So I think that will be the end of the Lindsey Graham reporting. I think we're coming towards the end of that cycle, of that arc, the Lindsey Graham arc. So we can move on to the next clown world, and we return to Stunning and Brave. And as she was speaking about the 21st sanctions package, she was very upset with the International Olympic Committee and their decision to ease restrictions on Russian athletes. I talked about this last week in my video update, the IOC's decision on Russian athletes. Basically, they're going to allow the federation, the sports federations, to decide how Russian athletes will participate in Olympic sports with their flag, with their anthem, and all of these things. Basically, Russia is being reinstated back into the Olympic Games. That's pretty much the message from the IOC. And Stunning and Brave did not like it. I don't like it. We actually have a proposal from Estonia, the country where she was prime minister. Estonia is now proposing that the European Union stop providing money to the International Olympic Committee because of this decision. Okay, whatever, man. You don't want to provide money to the IOC? That's fine, European Union. I think the IOC, what the IOC should do in response to this proposal from Estonia is they should remove their participation in the Olympic Games. That would be funny. I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying, you know, you want to take away the money from us? Well, no Olympics for you. It's a pirate world. Yep. And then Kaya Kallas, she started to talk about the sanctions package. This will be my last clown world, and I'll even play you the video. And she was talking about the fish problem because of fishing, fisheries, and companies, for example, in Portugal, that make, manufacture fish products like fish fingers. They rely on very, very thin margins, and so they rely on very inexpensive Russian fish and Russian fish products in order to make their food. And so they're against sanctioning Russian fish and fishing products and whatever. And Kaya Kallas, she said in her statement that fish are geopolitical. Yeah, she had no idea that fish are so geopolitical. Yep. Fish, very, very geopolitical. Absolutely. Who would have thought that we live in this connected world and connected supply chains where countries rely on one another and businesses rely on supplies and products from other regions and other countries in order to maximize their profits. And when you take that away, you F up their business, you F up their margins, you F up their supply chains. Who would have thought that this could happen when you sanction a huge, massive country like Russia, the biggest country geography in the world? Who would have thought that you would start messing up businesses in the European Union? I never would have thought that would happen. Those fish, very geopolitical. I will leave you with her video, and I will just say to everyone as I wrap up this video, thank you for liking this video. Thank you for subscribing to this channel. We finally got to 260,000 subscribers. Finally. It took me three months. Thank you to everybody that has subscribed. Very much appreciate it. We did it. 260,000. Oh boy. Now maybe by Christmas, we'll get to that magic 261. Anyway, to everyone that's obliterating the hype button, thank you so much. Check out the Durant shop. We have a 26% special on all merch. Check us out on Locals, on Telegram, and on Rumble. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.
I must say that before I was, in this job, I didn't know that fish are so geopolitical. You know, all the, like, fish are really, really something that are hindering all important geopolitical processes. But